Welcome to Calvary Church, where we are dedicated to loving God and loving people. If you want to know more about us, please check us out online at calvary.ca. Now let's check out this week's message from our lead pastor, Stephen McDonald.
Hello, everybody. Welcome to Calvary Church Online. My name is Steve. I'm the lead pastor here at Calvary, and we're so glad that you've joined us today. So wherever you are, grab yourself a hot coffee and a cup of tea. Maybe grab your Bible and find a comfortable place to park yourself, and let's get into it today. I pray every weekend as we come together that our service, reaching you wherever you are, is a source of hope in your life, that it encourages you today. So I pray that through the worship, through everything that we say in God's Word, that it would truly strengthen your life. That's why we're here. We're here to invest into you. And you know what? I really hope that despite the physical distancing that is necessary right now, that you're still staying connected. You know, it's easy when we're distancing ourselves to disconnect, and it takes its toll. And so we need to be a little bit more intentional in making those connections with our friends, with our family, with our church. Give someone a call. Drop them a text, connect through video conferencing. These things can make a world of difference in your mental and your spiritual health. And so really, it's an investment into you. So each Sunday when we come together, it's an investment into who you are and where you are in the world today. You know, last week we had an incredible time as hundreds of people gathered in online small groups, literally 7 days of the week. And so the airwaves, the internet was filled with laughter, with prayer, with people hanging out. And you know what? It makes going through what we're facing together a little bit more tolerable, a little bit more fun. So I encourage you this week to reach out and to jump on. If you need any information, jump into the online chat that we're having this morning while church is on and talk to some of our team. We'd love to get you the information and get you connected so that you're not feeling isolated and alone. There's no need for that, especially in a day when we're leveraging technology to connect you with other people wherever you are. But it is true. It is true that during uncertain times, we all experience moments of loneliness, of even that anxiety that sometimes comes upon us, and that feeling of hopelessness. But God's not given us a spirit of fear, but of power, love, and a sound mind. So in the midst of this storm, don't look at the waves, don't recognize the fact that the wind is blowing all around you. Keep your eyes on Jesus, because when we do, we will experience a peace that passes all our human understanding. And then we'll recognize that God is great, and He is greater than all that we're facing. And He has the power to overcome it all. And that power can abide within your life. And so today we stand with the certainty of strength and peace in uncertain times because of what He did last weekend. You know, His death and resurrection on Easter Sunday changed literally everything. And so in these uncertain times, the certainty of peace is made possible through the cross. Not in the artifact or the symbol of the cross itself, but in the eternal work that it represents. Your life won't be changed, this world won't be changed until we understand what took place on that cross. Now, some of you have heard my story, that as I grew up, I was a part of a church that was very traditional. And so oftentimes I was made to go, not necessarily something that I had on my to-do list to do that week, but I went. I was a good son, and I sat there. And so to keep myself occupied, I would look at everything that was in the room. And one of the things that always captured my attention was at the front of the church. So as the priest was sharing his message for the day, I would often look past him to see the crucifix that was on the back wall. And that crucifix was an image for me that confused me a little bit, because as I looked around, people were laughing and smiling and singing, and yet there at the front of this church was a man on a cross who seemed to be suffering terribly. And I had a hard time understanding how we could be full of joy when he was full of so much pain. Now, I'm thankful for a mother who helped to navigate and guide me through that time, to help me understand that yes, that signified what he did for each of us, but it didn't represent the reality of today. Because the truth is, today he's not on that cross anymore. As a matter of fact, he abides in the hearts of those that believe. You see, to understand the cross is to know the man who hung on that cross. And the symbol of death that cross represented has now been forever transformed into a symbol of hope. Why? Because of his sacrifice. And so the certainty of peace can only be assured by a source that is certain, a source that is true, that is known for sure, established beyond a doubt. You see, the certainty of peace in our lives can only be assured by the Prince of Peace himself. He is our certainty of peace. You see, the cross of Christ is the center point of our salvation, of our peace. It's the crucial point, the place of convergence where everything about the gospel comes together. It represents the pivotal moment when the certainty of our peace was established. Now, the days after Jesus' resurrection have always fascinated me. For 40 days after that incredible event, instead of just going to heaven, Jesus appeared to many different groups of people. And some people read the scripture and wonder why he did that. Why did he appear to so many? Well, one reason, I believe, was to demonstrate to his followers that he truly was alive. After all, they knew that the Roman authorities had put Jesus to death. They sealed him in a tomb after they took him down from that cross. When this happened, most of his followers were filled with great fear. As a matter of fact, many of them went into self-isolation and hid themselves in their homes for fear that the authorities would find them and that they would be dragged into something that would risk their lives. You see, they had believed that Jesus was the promised Messiah, but they quickly forgot his words about returning, about conquering the grave. And in this moment, their hopes were shattered. Suddenly, they were unsure of what the future looked like. But when Jesus appeared among them, something incredible happened. A joy welled up within them where they recognized that his words were true. You see, the greatest miracle in all history had taken place. Jesus was alive. And he was standing in the room speaking with them. Some of them could hardly speak because of that excitement. And during those 40 days, he appeared to various groups of his followers and disciples, proving beyond doubt that he had been raised from the dead by God's incredible power. If you've got your Bibles, turn with me to John chapter 20. We're going to start reading in verse 19. It says, that Sunday evening, the disciples were meeting behind locked doors. So they were in isolation because they were afraid of the Jewish leaders. And suddenly Jesus was standing there among them. You can imagine how incredible that moment would be. And I'm sure in that moment Jesus chose his words wisely. And the first thing he said to them was, peace be with you. He spoke peace into their hearts. Today in Jesus' name, wherever you are, whatever you're going through, whatever isolation you're feeling, whatever door you're locked behind, peace be with you. That's what Jesus said. And as he spoke, he showed them the wounds in his hands and his side. He wanted to prove to them that it was truly him. And they were filled, not with terror, but with joy when they saw the Lord. And again, he said, peace be with you. He said, I think in this moment he said it twice, just to assure them of the certainty of peace. In case you missed it the first time, peace be with you. It's going to be okay. As the Father has sent me, so I am sending you. Then the Bible says he breathed on them and said, receive the Holy Spirit. That was a promise that would be fulfilled in Pentecost, but he spoke it in that moment. Now that last bit always kind of felt a little awkward to me, that Jesus breathed on them. You know, in the moment, I think you'd be looking at somebody next to you, did he did he just breathe on us? Yep, I think that's what he did. Jesus, the Bible says, breathed on them. But it's actually quite powerful. Because when you double back and look at creation, when God formed Adam out of the dust of the earth, what was the first thing he did? He breathed life into Adam. And now Jesus was breathing new life into his followers with the promise of the Holy Spirit. He was breathing peace into the chaos, peace into the crisis that they were experiencing. You know, I've said this before, but many, many times since Christmas, I have had these odd little moments with my watch. I got a watch for Christmas, and my watch at intermittent times will make a little ding noise and vibrate, and I'll look down and it will say, breathe. Now, when I first saw this, I thought, how ridiculous is that option, and how can I turn it off? Because I don't want to be reminded of that every single day. But you know what? Over the last month and all that we've been going through, it's been incredibly helpful to me. Because as my watch vibrates and makes a noise, it says, breathe. I actually take a moment, and I breathe. I would say to you today, just breathe. Breathe and take in the peace of Almighty God. The certainty of His peace can be with you even when you're feeling overwhelmed. You know, another reason I believe that He spent time connecting with people, the reason why He spent time staying on earth instead of just going immediately to heaven, was to teach His disciples something incredibly important, to prepare them for the task of telling the world about who He was. You see, is your faith today in the risen Lord? And if it is, are you seeking to share His message of salvation, His message of peace with the people around you? We live in an age of sharing. We're sharing everything on Instagram and Twitter and Facebook. I want to encourage you today that even though you are isolated and distanced from other people, to share your faith with them. Whether it's picking up the phone, texting someone, or sharing on social media, invite them to church. Invite them to one of your online small groups, because there are people all around you that are in need of that certain peace that can only come from Him. Now let me give you three truths that will help lead you to the place of certain peace, the certain peace that He's promised us. And I guarantee you, if you will practice these things, peace will never elude you again, because you will know peace in a personal way. The first one is this: bring Him everywhere. You see, if you don't have peace in your isolation, bring Him into your isolation. If you don't have peace in your finances, especially right now as the world is shaking around us, bring Him into your finances. If you don't have peace in your marriage, bring Jesus, the Prince of Peace, into your marriage. If you don't have peace with your family, with your business, with your relationship, bring Him into all of these areas so that you will experience that same peace. You know, sometimes I think we compartmentalize how we live. I put on my Jesus face. I wear my Jesus clothes, and I talk my Jesus talk when I go to church or when I jump online with my friends in my online small group. But then sometimes we go and we live the way we want to for the rest of the week. You see, my heart as a pastor leading this church, a church like ours, is to raise up and to equip a generation of Christ followers who are the same people on Sunday as they are for the rest of the week. So wherever you are, whatever you do, bring Jesus into every moment. And you know what? If you can't, maybe you need to consider and reconsider what it is you're doing. Because what we believe in our lives should really align with how we live our lives. Bringing the Prince of Peace into our lives wherever we go will eventually make us men and women of peace. He will increase, we will decrease. That's what John 3:30 tells us. You see, there shouldn't be a spiritual part of my life and then a regular part of my life. There just should be my life filled with joy, filled with certain peace. Because that's who God has called us to be. He's called us to bring Jesus into all of it. And when we do, it brings certainty into our lives, the certainty of peace. 2 Thessalonians 3:16 says, "Now may the Lord of peace himself give you peace." Not just on Sunday, But the Bible says at all times, in every way. How? Because the Bible says that the Lord wants to be with all of you. He wants to be with each of us wherever we are. Number two, make him Lord. Now, what does that really mean when we say Lord? It's not just, you know, a part of his name. To understand the principle of lordship, we need to understand that it goes much further beyond that. Lordship actually means that you're under a canopy or a covering of certainty. So as we follow him, he must be Lord of all of our lives. Meaning we can't lord over a few things and then he lords over the rest of it. Some people try to live like that. They try to call him Lord in certain parts of their lives, and then they try to lord over their own. But see, it doesn't work. Then we wonder why we don't have peace, why there is a struggle and a friction. Acts chapter 10, verse 36 says, "You know the message God sent to the people of Israel, announcing the good news of peace through Christ Jesus, comma." Sometimes we think that's a period right there because we think, well, peace in Jesus, sign me up. I want it. But that's not where that thought ends. It talks about peace through Jesus, who is Lord of all. You see, when he's Lord of all in your life, you will experience peace in all. So sometimes people will say, well, can't I do anything that I want and still have peace if I know him? No. You know, the same is true in families, the dynamic that happens within a home. As long as my boys, my children honor Susan and I and abide by our guidelines and come under our canopy or our covering within our home, then I'm going to do everything to protect them, to bless them, and keep them. Trust me, there is absolutely nothing outside of his lordship that will ever come close to bringing you the certainty of peace that comes by knowing him. So can you get angry and intimidate your spouse and your children and still have peace? No, because you're stepping outside of the covering of his righteousness. And it's his righteousness, not my own. When he looks at me, now he sees Jesus. He sees what his son has done for me. So can you cut corners and lie and business and still have the certainty of peace? No, because you've stepped outside of his righteousness. We need to submit our marriage, submit our finances, our families, our morals, our thinking. We need to submit our way of life to the lordship of Jesus and experience the certainty of his peace. And then finally, number three, we need to trust in him in everything that we do. We're not trusting in the government or in science. We have to trust in him. He is the source. He is the one that is certain through it all. Think about him. Talk about him. Love him, worship him, trust him through it all. And if you do, you will be filled with peace each and every day. Now here's my prayer for all of you, wherever you are today. Romans chapter 15, verse 13 says, "May the God of hope fill you with all joy and peace as you trust him." Peace is not the absence of something, but the presence of someone. And it's trusting in that someone with your entire existence. The certainty of peace is assured by personally knowing the way, the truth, and the life. The certainty of peace is assured by knowing the peace personally. And that changes everything. Let's pray today. Father, I thank you today for the certainty of your peace within our lives. I speak peace to each and every person that is on our broadcast today, that no matter what they're facing or feeling, no matter what they're experiencing today, that they would bring you into that moment, and they would experience the certainty of peace that will guide them through it all. In Jesus' mighty name we pray. Amen. I pray that bless you and encourage you today. You know, I want to take a minute before we close and just thank all of you. I want to thank you for your generosity during a very unusual time. So many of you have not pushed pause on your giving. You've continued to be faithful in your giving. And I tell you what, it has made the difference. As your pastor, I'm so proud of our church. so proud of our church community for making such a difference in the community, especially when they need us the most. And so as a final act of our worship today, I want to give you another opportunity to generously give. If you're believing for a big miracle, even in your finances and in your home, let's sow a big seed and trust that God would do it. And as you watch online, we've made it very simple. We've made it very safe for you to be able to give. And so if you look on the banner at the bottom of the screen, you'll see exactly what to do. You can click on give at the top of the viewing page, or you can navigate to calvary.ca/give, or on your mobile device, text the word Calvary CA to the number 73256. And again, thank you. Thank you for giving generously. And I want to ask you to stay faithful. Stay faithful in your giving, and here's why. You know, as we go through this together, we've been able to already minister to people within our own church community. We've been able to minister to our mission partners around the world, helping them through difficult times. And through all of this, we stay and remain committed to help the vulnerable, those that are less fortunate and going through difficult times. And so we support and partner with the City Dream Center, with Night Shift Ministries. And just this last week, we were contacted by one of our city councilors here in Surrey to assist with the Emergency Response Center here in North Surrey that's run by the Surrey Urban Mission to help provide clothing for the homeless. And so it's because of your sacrifice, your giving, and your participation that makes some of those things possible. And we want to be an active participant in serving our community through such a difficult time. Let's continue to be the church. Let's be the church strong. Let's be that light that shines in the darkness, that as people are dealing with uncertainty, that they can connect with a group of people who know the one who has given us the certainty of peace that will never change in our lives. Help us to make a difference in the community, continue ministering to the people that need it the most. Again, thank you. So today I want to, as we close our service, I want to pray for your giving, that God would bless you. For those of you that are navigating some financial challenges, I want to pray for God's miracle hand in your life. Father, we thank you today for every gift, for every giver. I pray, God, for your blessing to be upon everyone who's watching today, who's joining us for church online, that you would bless them abundantly in their giving as they do so generously. I believe for miracles in their own lives, that you would protect them, that you would be their source through it all. In Jesus' mighty name we pray, amen. Thank you for joining us today. We look forward to you joining us online this week for our online small groups. Again, make sure in the chat you ask for assistance or information. We'd love to have you a part of our small groups. And then we look forward to seeing you at Calvary Church Online next Sunday at 9, 10:30, and 12, all our regular service times, as well as 9 and 10:30 for our Mandarin campus. We love you. We miss you. God's best to each and every one of you. Have a great week.